Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. What's going on? We got, how about the Astros got a win?
What did we go 0-2 as a city yesterday?
Right. We went 1-1 as
right.
a city.
I remember when the Rockets were playing better basketball.
Yeah, they're not playing great.
About a week ago.
They've got Philly in their last game, so that should be a win heading into the playoffs. They got Oklahoma City, which is the scariest matchup in the history of basketball.
Well, the big news coming out of Rocket Town is that an MRI was performed on Russ, and Russell Westbrook had been, you know, he sat out a game.
Yeah. Thought he's got a quad problem.
Thought was he'd be fine, and then James Harden played. And then James sat out, and Russ played. And then Russ, after that game, Russ was diagnosed with a quad problem. MRI showed a quad strain, and now the Rockets are saying his availability is up in the air, which is to be on. You know, that's his availability for the game against Philadelphia is up in the air. But really, the concern is what is his availability for
the playoffs? Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's going to be the big concern right now.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Quad problems? I mean, you just got to get over that, I think.
Russ doesn't strike me as a guy who just babies things.
No.
If he's out, it's for a reason. But
I know, but I'm just saying, if it's a quad, I mean, you know, if you lose an arm, I can see you're not going to play. You're going to take a couple weeks.
If I had to put money on it, quad, he goes with quad. Hamstring's one thing, but quad, Russ will play.
Right, right.
Now, will he be any good?
I guess
we'll find out. I saw a guy named Eric Gordon yesterday.
Ooh, I saw him. I saw him jacking up threes and missing
them. Yeah, he did not have his legs under him. Calvin Murphy talked about it at halftime. He just said, this young man's going to have to keep working and try as quickly as he can to get his legs up under him, because that's, you know, when you're a guy who plays from distance, you have to have your legs so that you can shoot. He was 1-for-9 yesterday. I know he was 0-for-4, I believe, in the first half from 3. 1-for-9. He was 5-of-15, and he had 6 turnovers. The worst part was that he couldn't finish around the basket. You could see that was a classic case of being rusty. That's what it looks like. He wasn't able to take care of the ball. His ball handling was suspect. When he got into the paint, they were turning into turnovers instead of finishes. Eric Gordon, this is why guys, when they've had time off, really do need to play games. You really do need games for guys who've had time off, because they just when the rust hits them, they're just not nearly as good. They got to be able to shake the rust off, and this is game one to shake it off. He'll have another game against Philadelphia, and hopefully that's enough to shake it off before he gets to the playoffs, because if Russ isn't at 100%, you really need Eric Gordon.
Oh, you got to have Eric Gordon. He was driving to the hole real nice. There was some of them.
He was attacking,
kind of
yeah.
surprising. He lost a few balls, but he really hasn't had his legs under him all year, if you want to know the truth. He's shooting 31.3% this season from three. He hasn't been good all season long. I mean, he's 2.7 for 8.5, so he wasn't that far off of his season average, if you want to know the truth.
Assists to 6 turnovers, that's not considered good.
That's not
it?
A good thing. No.
But 6-0 is good, right?
Right, but the other
way. 0-6 is not considered good.
Not great.
Yeah.
You know that?
0-6, yeah.
Yeah. See, Well, he's not really an assist guy, but he shouldn't be a 6 turnover guy either.
Like it no worse than 1-1.
Right. Right. James was 3-2. James is he's an unbelievable scorer. Holy crap. 13-21, 7-14 from 3. 45 points, and it just looks like it's effort, but he also had 17 rebounds, a career high. So that was pretty good too. So James looked really good, but you know, they're not going to do much without Russ. And boy, talk about the storylines with Oklahoma City. Holy crap. Are there any? You think there's any? When you're going to play Oklahoma City in the series, that's going to be very, very interesting. That's a good basketball team over there, and this is, I don't know, of all of the matchups, honestly, if you get to choose, because you had a chance to play Denver, you had to play a chance to play Utah, and you had a chance to play Oklahoma City. I don't think Dallas was in. Well, Dallas kind of still is in the mix up until up until the last couple of days.
If I had to choose. I don't know.
I would play Utah first.
I think Utah, but Donovan Mitchell scares me a little bit. But and you got the big with Rudy Gobert. So you know that you're always going to have issues with rebounding, but you have that with any team. So what difference does it make? So I mean, historically, you have had better success.
You play Rudy Gobert well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Utah's number one by far. Now the other ones are interesting. Dallas, Denver, and Oklahoma City. Which one would you choose to play?
Dallas.
You would like to play Dallas.
They play
first.
Your brand of basketball. I know that's not going to be the one that most people would say, but. They play your brand of basketball. It's going to fit what you do. And so I would say Dallas probably. Maybe Oak City.
Well,
I'm less afraid of Oklahoma City than everyone else appears to be. Denver makes me a little more nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got the big guy. Porter's playing well. You got Murray. They're pretty good.
Have talent.
Yeah, they're good. I don't know. I don't like Dallas too much. I don't like that matchup. I would rather make the other team uncomfortable. And Dallas seems very comfortable playing the Rockets because they.
The Rockets feel comfortable playing Dallas ball too?
Right.
Because Dallas is they're a running gun team.
Right. But you had to have a miracle tip at the end to send it to overtime.
This is my thing. Dallas doesn't defend, and the thing that scares me worse than anything is someone taking James out of a game. James getting out of a game. Being taken out of a game is what scares me more than anything. And Dallas doesn't have anyone that's going to do that defensively. So, it's all just a bunch of, here's the reality that we probably have to start thinking about. Didn't you feel like it was just everyone was on to the second round in the mindset? There was not even a thought of the first round. I think you have to think about the first round. I'm not sure. Maybe there's nothing like a couple back-to-back losses to make you go, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't just act like the Rockets are just going to automatically, be playing the Lakers in the second round. Maybe this is going to be a challenge, and this is something that could happen where the Rockets lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Who do you think has played more games for Oklahoma City than anyone?
In history?
No, this year.
I don't know. I have no idea. What kind of
Chris Paul.
Oh, that's the trick question.
I knew
it was a trick question.
That's a trick question.
Yeah, because they expect him to be out all the
yeah.
time.
Well,
yeah, he wasn't for much of the year. They said he was doing some different things. And I remember he was, he had talked about drinking a bunch of bone broth and getting different types of massages. He's always looking for whatever he can do to stay as healthy as he can be. Because I think if you've ever seen his brother, I think Chris Paul could end up, when he's done playing, getting a little thick. But
I think
genetically he has to work a little bit harder.
His brother's thick.
I've
seen him before.
Yeah, I think he has to work a little bit harder at it. But I didn't realize he had missed that.
Well, here's the deal, though. This is perfect for Chris Paul, isn't it? Because you took 3 months off in the middle of the season. And so it's like this is a whole other season that's just started. So Chris Paul probably isn't going to break down because he had all that time off. I mean, if this was a continuous season, you could hope that, well, not hope, but you could fully expect Chris Paul to break down at some point in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's not the case here now, though. And Chris Paul is pretty dangerous. Chris Paul is this team is pretty dangerous. Gallinari is a great shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Gilgeous Alexander, Schroeder.
Well, I think it's, it's Lakers, Clippers.
Steven Adams inside is not going to be fun.
Chris Paul's still a heckler, too.
Who?
Chris Paul's still the heckler. He's always been. Last night, Duncan Robinson, one of the Heat shooters, went off for 19 or whatever he put up in the first half. He only played the starters for the first half. And at the end of that half, Chris Paul's like, all right, enough of you. So he started to guard him, and he kind of snatched the ball away from him and then bounced it off of him, his shoulder really hard before he went out of bounds, off of Duncan Robinson, goes to the Thunder, and Jimmy Butler was like, nah, fam. The next possession, Jimmy Butler just charges into him, picks up an offensive foul, and they ask him after the game, Chris Paul's not going to do that to my guy. So he's still the guy you remember.
Yep.
So if it's going to get, definitely going to get contentious at some point.
Oh, yes.
Chris is a very competitive guy. James, you know, this is really, this is a big game for James Harden, because James Harden was, it was not a secret James wanted him out of there. James,
yes.
I think Daryl Morey wanted to get that contract off the books too, but we know that James wanted Chris Paul out of there. James better step up and win this game, win this series then.
Yeah.
Because it's going to look bad if Chris Paul punks James Harden if James doesn't play well. There's no reason to believe that James won't play well. Let me get that out first. James in the bubble has played well. James this season, there's no reason to believe that James Harden is not going to play well.
No.
There's no reason. I'm just saying he needs to, and he needs to dispose of the Thunder. And to do that, it's going to take more than James. And this is also a Russ game. Russ has got to step up and play well in this series. Russ will be back. Russ will play in the series. He might miss the first game, but Russ is going to play in this series. And then Eric Gordon needs to get it together. But the good thing is, if Eric isn't really ready, they don't have to rely on him. I mean, he can catch. Yesterday he was 20 minutes. He can catch 20 minutes again because Ben McLemore has had a stroke. And has had a good stroke. I shouldn't say Ben McLemore's had a stroke.
I was like, what the hell?
Ben McLemore
when
has had...
When did that happen after the game?
The stroke. The three-point...
Wow.
So, yeah. But and then Jeff Green, rickets. So, I mean, it's crickets from the bench. If that's... No. So, Jeff Green, McLemore, Covington. You've got some other guys who can shoot the ball. Potentially.
Jeff Green. What do you mean? Oh, Jeff Green and crickets? Because Jeff Green hasn't been crickets. Jeff Green has been nice.
I was just rhyming crickets with rickets. Oh. I was putting him on something, too. I couldn't just have...
Oh, stroke and then rickets.
And then rickets, yeah.
A stroke would be more like...
I know. Rickets is more... Stroke is more like...
Yeah. A heart attack.
Yeah. I just felt that's too aggressive. I'd rather give somebody rickets than a heart attack.
Well, you gave him a stroke.
Yeah, I just said he had a good stroke.
Oh, my God. I was like,
From three.
How's his left side?
From three.
7-Eleven ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little Skeeters baseball. When we come back, we'll talk some Astros baseball. And there's Joe Kelly's a punk. Punk. Okay? And now, we'll hear. And actually, we got some. It probably start a good discussion, but. We'll talk about that on the other side. But we got some other baseball to talk about, and that's the Sugarland Skeeters. Well, it's not really the Sugarland Skeeters. It's the Constellation League, and there's just a couple of weeks left, people. It's until the end of August. Now, there's Kobe and Casey and Cody and all the K's over there. Rogers K's are either in the dugout or on the field. And so you can see Rog is in the dugout. You can see him. It's a Clemens reunion. Actually, that team is mostly made up. Well, it's made up of all Texas guys, but it's mostly made up of UT guys. And then you got the other teams. You got a Skeeters team. You got a what are some of the other names? A couple of the other names there.
There's the Sloths.
The Sloths. Yeah. I like them. Anyway, you can go watch them play. It's minor league baseball. Minor league guys that didn't get to play this year because they ended the minor leagues, and so. There's plenty of great baseball players out there. And guess what? They're right here at Constellation Field. So if you want to see them, there's fireworks on Friday night. There's giveaways all weekend long as well. It's good, clean fun for the whole family. It's sanitized. Only 2,000 people. Tickets start at $9. All you got to do is go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
But this guy walks over to our dugout and then spits while I follow all the rules, and then I get 8 games. Oh, but then they want to say, well, Joe, your words, like that's unsportsmanlike. Oh, really? Because with no fans, I can hear everything. With no fans, every single word. They have a manager on their side, verbatim, yelling at me, saying, get your little skinny ass on the mound. So my cuss words get 8 games, and his cuss words get 0. And that makes complete sense, right? I mean, welcome to planet Earth. A debacle.
Cuss words matter.
Throwing a guy's heads matters too. I think he forgot that part of it.
Yeah, he didn't say get your little skinny ass on the mound. If he did, that was in addition to get on the mound, little.
Yeah, that was Joe Kelly on the Big Swing podcast.
Joe Kelly, he was. Oh, now it gets there's another part that's really really good too, where he talks about Can you got to find it where he talks about the snitches. He talks about the snitches and he talks about Alex Cora and that whole thing. And he's pretty aggressive. And actually, that's the part that why he got suspended and it was fair or unfair. He got to reduce to 5 games. So the commissioner's office did say, you know, now he didn't hit anybody, right? Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's not the hero that we all need. Joe Kelly is pissed off, though. Joe Kelly is pissed off because the Astros snitched. That's where the whole problem for him is. That Alex Cora caught it. That's why he's pissed. Hey, Alex Cora was his manager in Boston.
Right.
So Joe Kelly is pissed that Alex Cora went down and none of the players did. So do you have it, Del? He says, well, he starts when you take someone's livelihood.
Wait, that's what he's pissed about?
Yeah.
Yes. He's pissed about the man. But wait.
Actually,
I got to figure out why this sits so poorly with
me. Here's what he said. You got it?
No. I got to scan through the entire podcast.
All right, it's actually before that, but here it is. The people who took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone is involved, but the way that sign-stealing system was run over there was not from coaching staff. They're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go snitch like a little bitch, and they don't have to get fined. They don't have to lose games. When you take someone's livelihood to save your own ass, that's what I don't like. Cheating, they cheated. Everyone knows they're cheaters. They know they're cheaters. They know they're cheaters. It's over. That's done with. But now they mess it up by ruining other people's lives. So they F it up twice.
He's so full of...
When you taint someone's name to save your own name, this is one of the worst things that you could probably do. That really friggin' bugs me. I think I'll be irritated forever.
When you taint someone else's name, who did the Astros taint? Rob Manfred did, if you want to go after someone, because they did an investigation.
Right.
Then go get your boys Mike Fiers, too, because Mike Fiers is the one who told how everything worked, too. Then go say something to Mike Fiers, because Mike Fiers also...
Mike Fiers, he would say, didn't do it to save himself. Mike Fiers was just the whistleblower.
Who did it to save themselves?
Well, they saved them. He's saying it was the players, but they blamed AJ. They blamed Cora. They blamed Beltran. They blamed Luno. And the players just to save their own asses.
Do you agree with that?
If
they ask how it started, if it started because Beltran and Cora
said,
well, this is what they're doing on other teams.
Maybe they've called Cora and said, hey, I'm sorry, or called Luno and said, hey, I'm sorry, or called Hinch and Carlos Beltran. If they had said, hey, I'm super scared, I don't know what to do, I don't want to lose money, I had to rat, grow a pair of balls and say that.
Joe Kelly's just speaking on stuff he doesn't even know about. That's what annoys me.
Well, here's the deal. You know what? He lives by a code. And you know what the code was with the Red Sox? No one be snitches. The Astros are a bunch of snitches. We're not going to be snitches. So you know what happened? No one knows how Alex Cora really started the whole damn thing because they didn't tell the truth. They did not tell the truth. So he's like, hey, in Boston, we all banded together. What he's saying is in Boston, we all banded together and we weren't going to be rats like the Astros are. We're not throwing Alex Cora under the bus, you guys. So everybody just mum's the word. Nobody say a word. Nobody snitch. And so he thinks they're a bunch of great guys because now no one knows the truth of what happened in Boston. But they didn't send a Cora down the river.
You know what?
They didn't throw him under the bus.
He was already gone.
No, but he's coming back. Hinch probably get Luno will never work again. Carlos Beltran will never work again.
Well, Carlos Beltran
had a managerial job with the Mets.
We've done this before. I don't know if we have to keep doing it, but the fact is, Carlos Beltran was with the Yankees, who had done it. We already know this is a bunch of bull crap. The Astros, it's not bull crap that the Astros got in trouble for what they got in trouble for. They've admitted it, and they did something wrong. What is bull crap is this idea that Carlos Beltran didn't bring it from the Yankees, when it's already been discussed that Carlos Beltran brought it from the Yankees and said, what are y'all doing? You're behind the times.
Right. No. Absolutely.
I mean, what do you mean?
I agree 1,000%.
If you're interviewed, and remember the commissioner told them, Lance McCullers told us, commissioner basically said, you will tell the truth,
right,
or you are going to face an extensive penalty.
Well, and it's funny, It's funny. Well, they did. They did. There's no question. The players did snitch. They had immunity. I think they were all scared for their livelihoods. It's funny. They say no players, right? No players got suspended. No players got any punishment. We fail to remember Carlos Beltran was a player. Carlos Beltran was not interviewed. Carlos Beltran went down with this. He's the only player that went down. Cora, Luno, AJ were all management. He was a player.
Well, he was a player who then got fired while he was a manager.
But he still went down as a player.
Right.
As a player. And none other player did. So in some respects, Joe Kelly
he get a penalty or did the Mets just fire him?
No, that's true.
Major League Baseball did not penalize
him. That's true. You're right.
That was the Mets preemptively.
Yeah. He didn't get it suspended.
No, he
didn't.
True.
No,
that's true. No, you're right. You're right. But he's the only one that's paid a price. He's the only one in this thing that's paid a price because the report said that it was Beltran, Cora, AJ New, and Luno was toxic.
Well, he paid a price because he was on the management side, and the Mets said we're not going to do it. I mean, if Carlos was still playing, Carlos was done playing. He just happened to be on management side. Carlos has a stink on him from two teams.
Carlos did it.
Yeah, Carlos has stink on him from two teams.
Right, right.
Let's be honest. And so does Cora, frankly.
Yep.
AJ has it one, and it was already said by the players that AJ tried to, you know, AJ was the guy who was like taking bats to things because this is bullcrap. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. But he just didn't stop it. AJ, from reports, was not really down with it, but he just kind of went along.
But the fact of the matter is, and in some respect, Joe Kelly is right, and Joe Kelly is right because the Red Sox did it the way Omerta, right? They didn't turn anybody in. They didn't turn state's evidence. They did. Of course, they did have the playbook that the Astros didn't have. Was that if you just lie, it's okay. You just lie. But the fact of the matter is, the only people that went down were Beltran, Cora, AJ, and Luno, and all the players.
And the entire Astros. And you know who else went down? The entire Astros reputation. Reputation of the 2017 World Series.
Right.
That's kind of a big deal. Do you ever hear that talked about with the 2018 Red Sox?
No.
Okay. Well, their whole reputation has been...
Well, guess why? You know why? Because they lied. Because they had the playbook on how to lie. They didn't say a word. They didn't.
Right, so they did go down. The Astros did go down.
Yeah.
Oh, they went down.
Well,
their entire reputation
as players. But their livelihood is still fine. It's still intact.
Yeah, he goes on to talk about...
It's about the livelihood.
And he talks about how Alex Cora's daughter was being heckled in school. They had to pull her out of school. So apparently this...
I ain't listening to any of this.
I'm just telling you what he said. And apparently it really hit home with him. Now, this is a Dodgers-friendly podcast. It's a Dodgers podcast. So he wasn't going to get...
Oh, no.
He wasn't going to get follow-up.
It's Ross Stripling's.
That's his guy. That's his guy. Is Alex Cora's his guy? Of course, everything is going to be tinted from an Alex Cora thing.
And they all lied to protect Alex Cora. So he's like, you guys are a bunch of rats. You snitched on Alex Cora, and you snitched on AJ, and you snitched on Luno, and you snitched on Beltran.
I don't think they snitched. I think they told what happened because they had been found out.
Right. Well,
I mean, I don't really think it's snitching as much as
that's what snitching.
Yeah, but then he's a punk ass bitch anyway. Right. I don't care what Joe Kelly has to say. The Astros cooperated for fear of losing an entire year. They said, "Look, you're either going to cooperate with us, or you're not going to, and we'll just administer punishment." That's what there was.
Right.
If you don't cooperate, goodbye next year.
We'll do this on the after we talk to Ross Bjork. We're going to talk to the athletic director over at Texas A&M next, right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll get back into this a little bit later in the show. But right now, I went over to Chastain yesterday, and I was, you know, we had lunch. I had Tony, their new sales manager, and Allie, their marketing director, and Patrick, and I. We all had lunch and had a great time. And they can't be nicer people, and they can't do it any better than they do. And here's why they do it that way. It's called Chastain at Home. And now you can do everything from your website. And this is not the case. I'm telling you right now, this is not the case at the other places. The other places, they'll go, okay, now you got to come in and, And you go, well, okay, well, then when you get there, literally, they have tacked on all kinds of things. They call them ads, okay, dealer ads, and they add them on to your – and it's terrible. They'll say, oh, well, you need this fabric seal. You need this paint seal. You need this window etching, this tint, this spray-in liner. You got to have it. Oh, well, it's – and then by the time you're done, it's like $3,000 more. At Chastang Ford, they say, no, you can do everything at home. We will bring you the car to test drive. We will take it back if you don't like that one. We will bring you a different one. And then you don't even have to go to the dealership. And this is happening every single day at Chastang Ford. Now, you can also go to the dealership. They've got, they've sanitized. They've got places you can walk, can't walk for. It's unbelievable. It's awesome. But if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, and they've got all of them in stock, and they got 72 months, and they've got nothing down, and they got zero payments for 6 months, they've got all of it going on, you go to ChastangFord.com or get over to the dealership it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. I'm telling you, you will join the Chastang family, and you'll love it. It's Chastang Ford.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know that song. You hear it right here on your home for the Aggies in Houston. Your flagship here in Houston, ESPN 97.5. Bringing in Ross Bjork, the athletic director from Texas A&M University. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning. I love hearing that song. It's been a while since I've been able to hear that song, so I appreciate you guys playing that.
Well, we're going to hear it. Okay, you guys got a call today, right? That's coming up in just about 45 minutes or so?
You're talking about the SEC?
Yeah.
No, we don't have an athletic director call today. We have a call tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Our presidents and chancellors have a weekly call, and they have a meeting later this morning to just get an update on current affairs, but no decisions expected. We're staying the course and knowing that everything's fluid. But we have our call tomorrow.
So Ross, I think one of the most important things that we see on a regular basis is we know that most coaches want to play. We know the athletic directors do. We know the presidents have other concerns and governors have opinions. But you know the one that I pay most close attention to, or what the medical experts say in each conference, from the states and the conferences. Who are you guys listening to as a conference, or maybe even as a university? What are they saying? What are they talking about, and who is it exactly?
Yeah, so you're exactly right, and that's really where it's going to come down to the final decision making. Is, you know, this is a public health crisis. This is a public health matter. Our job is to protect the student athletes within our program, but we also have a greater duty, if you will, from a public servant standpoint, public institution standpoint, to be reasonable about this, to put in all the safeguards. And so we have a lot of people we're listening to. Here locally, we have our Brazos County Health Department that we're listening to. We have a great school of public health here at Texas A&M, and the dean of School of Public Health, Dr. Sean Gibbs. We're listening a lot to what he has to say. He actually serves on the SEC medical task force related to COVID-19. That includes a member from every SEC institution. So there's doctors on there. You have infectious disease expert like Dr. Gibbs. He's an industrial scientist as well. You have a broad base of folks serving on that panel, guiding and advising Commissioner Sankey and all of us athletic directors and the presidents. And then you bring in outside experts. We're consulting also with Dr. Alan Sills. He's the chief medical officer for the NFL. So we get information from him.
So you're contacting Dr. Sills too. You're also in contact with him.
Mm-hmm. Our conferences,
right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So we're getting info, and then we talk to so many people, whether it's our own local doctors, whoever we can get access to, and you basically just gather all that information, and then you use the data, you make the right decisions in the best interest of the university and the public health.
And well, we've seen how the bubble works. Ross Bjork, by the way, is with us, Texas A&M University athletic director. We've seen how the bubble works, and we see how much money it costs, and we see the NFL and how much money that they're spending. Is I know it's a difficult time. Texas A&M though is up there with the most profitable university sports wise in the whole country. Are you sparing no expense on this thing? And what's the plan there economically on this deal? Is this going to be a loser this football season with how much you have to spend?
Yeah, that's. I may not have time to go through all the layers, but you're exactly right. We're putting all the resources on the table. Whether it's regular testing, whether it's increased protocols, safety protocols, resource cleaning, disinfecting, things like that. We obviously have to stage out our facilities, so we're bringing in extra just equipment and spacing out our locker rooms and things like that. And then once we get into the season in practices, we're going to work through the SEC. We're going to have a third-party testing agency, and we'll have 3 tests a week. For our coaches and essential staff, and then obviously the players. And we haven't seen the final tally on what that looks like, but that's going to be a big ticket to conduct this testing over a 10 to 12 week period. If there's any sort of postseason, you'll have to extend that. And then you get into all your other sports. We also have soccer and volleyball, and basketball is going to be starting in November, and swimming and diving, and there's going to be a big expense to all of this to make sure, again, that we keep everyone as safe as possible.
We talked about a lot. A Mark Schlaubach article from ESPN really brought to light the financial considerations of a season versus no season and really what it meant well beyond football, what it meant to other sports and non-revenue-generating sports and even universities. Did you read the article, and B, what can you say about the importance of college football in terms of the financial well-being of so many different sports at so many different universities?
Yeah, I did. I read the article from Mark, and I think his work is terrific and very thorough. And so here's what we've done. You mentioned that we're one of the largest athletic budgets in the country, and that's true. But even as we started planning this out, and as we were looking at playing 7 home games, we were still looking at a $16 million budget reduction. So we were going from around $155 million budget down to $139 million budget. Now we'll have to make another adjustment by only playing 5 home games. And so we're still working on those numbers. We're also going to save some money, but we're going to reduce our revenue intake as well. So no one is immune from this. And we have gone to a position where we have not had to cut any sports. We've not had to have any salary reductions or any layoffs. But in this next round, you really have to put everything on the table. You have to look at salary reductions. You have to look at, do we need certain operations to be up and running? We don't have any plans to cut any sports, but we also know that if we don't have football at all, then I don't really have a magic formula for what that budget looks like, because we still have to operate the program. We still have scholarships. We still have debt service. We still have to have staff to run the athletic department and recruit next year's class and all these kind of things. So the financial ramifications of all of this, everyone's facing it in our country. Businesses are suffering. But we're going to face it just the same, and if the worst result happens where we're not playing college sports, then we're going to have to find a way to make it through. But it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah. So many people are saying you're putting these kids at risk. I mean, it's over money, and this is all over money. And when you look at how much, like you've talked about, how much you're putting into this. And everything else, and in schools that don't have your budget, and how much they're going to have to put into it. I firmly believe, I really do, and you can honestly tell us, I think this is the best place for the kids. I think that with the protocols, with the testing, with the supervision that they're going to have, that what they wouldn't have if they didn't have these teams and you guys looking after them and spending all this money, that they'd be in a much more dangerous situation.
Yeah, I think when you're in our chair, I think you're tired. You're kind of tired of people saying, "Well, this is all about money." You know what? It is about money to provide the opportunities. Mm-hmm. We're a self-sustaining athletic department, and so if we don't have the income and the revenue, then we don't have the opportunities. And so I think what people have to do regarding the healthcare aspect is, if you take a step back before COVID, we already had best-in-class sports medicine and healthcare programs. We had cardiac screening. We had sickle cell testing. We have concussion protocols. We have drug testing, just to name a few. So we already had best in class. And then when you look at this, we've implemented all of those, the virus protocols, the risk mitigation tactics. Obviously, we're having testing procedures that'll follow the SEC and putting a lot of resources into that, listening to all the health experts that I mentioned. So we have all those things in place. We've delayed the start of our season. We've phased in the pathway. So, and then the athletes want to play. And so we have put the best safeguards. We've been more than reasonable, and we've put the best care forward. And our job is to provide opportunities. And I've made the comment, you guys may have seen it this week, that we're not going to give up. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep pushing until we're told that we can't, because that's our responsibility to these young people and to their families.
So you probably know Cole Kubelik from SEC Network. Oh, yeah. And we had Cole on yesterday, and
he's great.
He's fantastic. Yeah. He really hustles, works hard, does radio in Birmingham, Alabama, as well as the SEC work, and speaks to a lot of people around the college football world. One of the things that he and I talked about last night on a phone call is that he said, you know, I think the thing that irritates me the most about what happened with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is that, A, well, the Big Ten was also trying to court other conferences to shut down at the same time so they wouldn't take the heat. He said, but, you know, they really didn't have to. If you look at the time frame, there was really no reason to make a decision this early. He thinks that they caved to pressure when this kind of decision about play or not playing could have been pushed all the way to the back end of August, or maybe even beyond. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, guys, as we sat here on Friday, last Friday, we announced our football opponents. And everyone was fired up, and some people weren't. Some people didn't like who they got matched up with, playing an SEC schedule only, but it's all relative in the SEC. So we were all excited. And then you go into the weekend, and you see all this other news. And from our perspective, nothing had changed. There was no new piece of data, no new information. So we didn't really understand where all this was coming from. And then there were a lot of leaks. And why were there leaks? Was that some sort of strategy to apply pressure? I don't really know. Our position was we were not going to panic. We were not going to deviate. There's a reason why we didn't start practice. We could have started practice last week, and we didn't. We hit the pause button. There's a reason why we pushed the start of college football to September 26th. We did that for a reason. We believe that we still have time. We believe, as we said here on August 13th, that there's plenty of time. Let's get practices going. Let's get our campuses open and have students start to come back, which they did this past weekend here in College Station. Let's see if there's any impact. We hope there's not, but let's see if there is. There probably will be. So we have to manage that. There's a lot of pieces that just haven't played out yet. And so, yeah, I agree with Cole that we believe we're being thoughtful. Why other conferences made those decisions, that's really up to them. I respect it. But we felt differently, and we're just continuing to march through our playbook.
So myocarditis looks like that's what the Big Ten, they had all kinds of doctors. And apparently, Lance, you talked to a doctor yesterday.
Cardiologist
that said, yes, you can detect it. Yes, it is treatable. But first, you have to be able to find it. Do you think that there will be some protocol in place for heart testing as well before these kids get on the field?
There will be, and there continues to be. And one of the things I mentioned about our healthcare system before COVID included cardiac screening. So when an athlete steps foot on campus before they're ever allowed to work out, they go through a cardiac screening. And then when we brought student athletes back this summer before they were allowed to work out, they had to pass a COVID test. And then they also had to go through the cardiac screening again as well. And then any positive cases that we've had also go through another round of cardiac screening
That's great.
To make sure. So, again, all those protocols, all those best practices, listening to doctors. So the myocarditis was not a new conversation, at least from our standpoint, because that's why we were doing all those practices to begin with. So we get it. It can happen. We understand it. Again, we believe that we have the right kind of safeguards in place to catch it. And that's going to be our job. And if somebody has that, then they won't play. And we'll make sure that we protect them.
I'm looking at your new old uniforms, too.
That's right.
Yeah, going back to the traditional Aggie uniform.
That's right. Coach Slocum era.
Yeah.
I know he's fired up, and our players are fired up. It was really a neat. Again, it just gives people hope that we can do this, and to see the players smile and have something fresh and new. And so, no, I think it's a great look, and I know the Aggies are fired up.
Yeah, that is going to be great. What are you expecting, 25% fans, or what are you thinking? How do you think this is going to go?
At this point, it's fluid, as we know. I just listened to an interview with Governor Abbott earlier this morning on another radio show, and he said the same thing, that it's fluid. Right now, we have a governor's order that says up to 50%. I see what's happening in baseball. I see what the NFL conversations are. I see what our brethren around Texas are doing in college football. So we haven't announced our total plan yet. We're saying that we're at 50%, but we haven't released our plan. We want to get a little more clarity on the table before we release our final plan. But we've got several layers to it. I hope that we can have as many as possible. But the first thing is, let's play football. Let's make sure we're playing in the safest environment. If we can have fans, great. But let's make sure we're playing first and foremost.
Ross Bjork, Texas A&M Athletic Director. One last thing. A couple of weeks ago, I had Tom Herman on, and for the Touchdown Club, and we did a nice long-form interview. And one of the things we asked was about A&M and Texas playing, mm-hmm. and he was adamant that this should happen. Most of the people, when the hurt feelings all went down and everything else, are gone. Most everybody is gone, and it just would make a lot of sense if the two sides could come together. You see that happening at any point?
Man, I was hoping I could avoid that question.
I figured.
This morning, right? No, it's all good. I totally understand it. Totally understand the rivalry and how great those games were, and the traditional Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. Here's our thing. We play in the SEC. We play 8 games on a normal schedule, obviously 10. We believe we have an unbelievable schedule. We've scheduled out. We actually have a new series that we hope to announce here soon. We're scheduled out till 2031. I think Texas is scheduled out till like 2032 or 33, something like that. So right now, I don't think any program has the room for it without canceling a bunch of games. And so we're not doing that. So honestly, I really haven't spent a whole lot of time with it. I've answered questions just like this. We want to be respectful. But also know that here at Texas A&M, a lot of our folks, me included, we've moved on. We're focused on other things. If that game happens in the college football playoff or the Sugar Bowl, great. But right now, there's no discussions, there's no plans, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Gotcha. That's Ross Bjork. I bet you get that question every day.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. It's all good, guys. You know I'm teasing you.
Yeah, No, I know. But it, that's how important it is in this state, and how big that game was every year in this state. So that's good stuff. Well, man, I can't be prouder of the – well, prouder. I can't be happier that the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 stayed its course as well. And I think other smaller AAC wants to put on its big boy pants, and they want to play as well. So what was your initial reaction when the Big 10 and the Pac-12? Was it a little disappointing for you?
Yeah, it was, because we're in this for opportunities, and I know my colleagues in those conferences, man, they're struggling. I've talked to several of them, and it's hard to look those kids in the eye and say, hey, we can't play, and honestly, there's not a lot of answers other than some unknown that we don't know the answers to. So it's really hard to answer it. I'm not really surprised about the Pac-12, to be honest with you. If you look at those states out there and just their numbers and restrictions, you know, by their governors and things like that, it's pretty hard for them to even open up and even have a meeting. So I'm not surprised about that one. I think the Big Ten one, that's the one that probably was the most surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. Ross Bjork, Texas A&M Athletic Director, on your home for the Aggies here in the city of Houston, ESPN 97.5. Man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us, and best of luck, and let's play some football.
Absolutely. Thanks, John and Lance. I appreciate you guys having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There's Ross Bjork, 748 ESPN 97.5.
Is he trying to be a champion, John? I led you into that?
Yeah.
See that segue?
Yeah. You know what?
That sounds like a championship segment.
Well, I think the Aggies are going to be champions this year. They've got a chance of being champions this year. And you know what? You got a chance to be a champion, too. If you're watching the Astros game, you see Alex Bregman, and he was in the dad's house. And, Dad, you're embarrassing me by not being with champion energy. You're so embarrassing, Dad. Hey, Alex, you want to play catch? If you switch to champion energy, that's when. So Alex Bregman is behind it, and if Alex Bregman is behind it, damn it, I'm behind it too. Well, I was way before Alex Bregman, actually. I've been with Champion Energy now for about, I don't know, 10, 11 years, and I'm going to tell you this, it's the best. I'll love it. You'll love it too. If you want to save money every single month, don't go with these other guys because they got nights and weekends or whatever they're giving away, whatever they're to better. We got the best rates. Guess what? You're going to pay more. So if you're looking to be a champion of your own pocketbook, all you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I want to talk to you about Craig DeCerf, the car buying. You know, it's funny. A lot of people really don't realize that the car buying experience has been something that has been phenomenal for Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC for a long time. But a lot of people are buying cars right now. A lot of people are getting cars because they understand they don't want to, you know, get to a point where there are no vehicles left anymore. Well, they just got a new shipment of vehicles in again at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. And here's the great thing. They have the open road sales event going on at Angleton. Right now, they're going to give you 15% cash back from MSRP on most 2020 Equinox and Trax models. Plus, you're going to get 12% cash back on most 2020 Blazers. If you want a Texas-sized truck, get $6,000 cash allowance on a new 2020 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Texas Edition. This doesn't just happen all the time. This isn't something they can just pull out of their backsides. This has to be offered as a program by the manufacturers, and it's out right now. So get your Chevy vehicle today at Gulf Coast Chevrolet. Make sure that you shop online, LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.